Cincinnati Public Radio and the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company proudly present William Shakespeare's beloved comedy, Much Ado About Nothing, adapted and directed for radio by Jeremy Dubin. The cast includes Marcus Anthony, Angelique Archer, Ariana Chai, Sarah Clark, Colleen Doherty, Jeremy Dubin, Cal Harris, Lennon Hu, Abigail Nacken, and Brian Isaac Phillips. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
Dateline, Messina. The war is over. Don Pedro and his forces easily overcame the opposition and ride victorious for home. On the way, they'll be making a stopover at the picturesque estate of prominent Messinan citizen Leonardo, who eagerly awaits their arrival, along with his winsome daughter, Hero, and her witty cousin, Beatrice. As we join them, a messenger has just arrived to deliver a letter announcing that Don Pedro comes this night to Messina.
I learn in this letter that Don Pedro comes this night to Messina.
He is very near by this. He was not 3 leagues off when I left him.
How many gentlemen have you lost in this action?
But few of any sort.
I find here that Don Pedro hath bestowed much honor on a young Florentine called Claudio.
I pray you, is Signor Montanto returned from the wars or no?
I know none of that name, lady.
What is he that you ask for, niece?
My cousin means Signor Benedick of Padua.
Oh, he's returned, and as pleasant as ever he was.
I pray you, how many hath he killed in these wars? For indeed, I promised to eat all of his killing.
Faith, niece, you tax Signor Benedick too much, but he'll be meat with you, I doubt it not.
He hath done good service, lady, in these wars.
You had musty victual, and he hath hoped to eat it. He is a very valiant trencherman. He hath an excellent stomach.
And a good soldier, too, lady.
And a good soldier to a lady, but what is he to a lord?
A lord to a lord, a man to a man, stuffed with all honorable virtues.
It is so indeed. He is no less than a stuffed man.
You must not, sir, mistake my niece. There is a kind of merry war betwixt Signor Benedick and her. They never meet, but there's a skirmish of wit between them.
Who is his companion now? He hath every month a new sworn brother.
He is most in the company of the right noble Claudio.
Oh, Lord! He will hang upon him like a disease. God help the noble Claudio. If he have caught the Benedick, it will cost him £1,000 ere he be cured.
I see, lady, the gentleman is not in your books.
No. And he were, I would burn my study.
Don Pedro is approached.
Striding triumphantly into the courtyard comes the dashing prince Don Pedro, along with his companions, Benedick, young Claudio, and all the soldiers of their company.
Good Signor Leonardo, you are come to meet your trouble.
Never came trouble to my house in the likeness of your grace.
I think this is your daughter.
Her mother hath many times told me so.
Were you in doubt, sir, that you asked her?
Signor Benedick? No!
If Signor Leonardo be Hero's father, she would not have his head on her shoulders for old Messina, as like him as she is.
I wonder that you will still be talking, Signor Benedick. Nobody marks you.
What, my dear Lady Disdain? Are you yet living?
Is it possible Disdain should die when she has such meat food to feed it as Signor Benedick? Courtesy itself must convert to disdain if you come in her presence.
Well, then is courtesy a turncoat. But it is certain I am loved of all ladies. Only you excepted. Mm. And I would I could find in my heart that I had not a hard heart, for truly I love none.
A dear happiness to women.
Oh!
They would else have been troubled with a pernicious suitor. Mm. I thank God in my cold blood I am of your humor for that. I had rather hear my dog bark at a crow than a man swear he loves me.
Oh, God, keep your ladyship still in that mind. So some gentleman or other shall scape a predestinate scratched face.
Scratching could not make it worse, since we're such a face as yours were.
Oh! Well, you are a rare parrot, teacher.
A bird of my tongue is better than a beast of yours.
I would my horse have the speed of your tongue. But keep your way, in God's name, I have done.
You always end with a jade's trick. I know you of old.
Signor Benedick and Signor Claudio, my dear friend Leonardo hath invited us all. I tell him we shall stay here at the least a month.
Yes, at least!
Amongst the jubilant soldiers, there is one less than jubilant face. That of Don John, illegitimate half-brother of the Prince Don Pedro. Though the two have been long at odds, they have recently come to a tenuous truce.
Let me bid you welcome, my lord. Being reconciled to the prince, your brother, I owe you all duty.
I thank you. I'm not of many words, but I thank you.
Please, at your grace, lead on.
Your hand, Leonato. We will go together.
Don Pedro and Leonato lead the exuberant crowd into the house, leaving behind in the courtyard only Benedick, still visibly vexed over his brush with Beatrice, and young Claudio, who is gazing longingly at the door through which Hero has just exited.
Didst thou note the daughter of Signor Leonato?
I noted her not, but I looked on her.
Is she not a modest young lady?
But you question me as an honest man should do for my simple, true judgment? Or would you have me speak after my custom, as being a professed tyrant to their sex?
No. I pray thee, speak in sober judgment.
Why, in faith, only this commendation I can afford her, that were she other than she is, she were unhandsome. And being no other but as she is, I do not like her.
Thou thinkest I am in sport. I pray thee, tell me, truly, how thou likest her.
Would you buy her that you would inquire after her?
Can the world buy such a jewel?
Yea, and a case to put it into.
In mine eyes, she is the sweetest lady that ever I looked on.
I can see yet without spectacles, and I see no such matter. But I hope you have no intent to turn husband, have you?
I would scarce trust myself, though I had sworn the contrary, if Hero should be my wife.
Is come to this? Shall I never see a bachelor of 80 again? I'll go to, in faith, and thou will needs thrust thy neck into a yoke, wear the print of it, and sigh away Sundays. Look, Don Pedro is returned to seek you.
What secret hath held you here that you followed not to Leonato's?
Oh, I would your grace would constrain me to tell.
I charge thee on thy allegiance.
Are you here, Count Claudio? On my allegiance. He is in love. With who? Mark how short his answer is. With Hero, Leonato's short daughter.
Amen. If you love her, for the lady is very well worthy.
You speak this to fetch me in, my lord.
By my troth, I speak my thought.
And in faith, my lord, I spoke mine.
And by my two faiths and troths, my lord, I spoke mine.
That I love her, I feel.
That she is worthy, I know.
That I neither feel how she should be loved, nor know how she should be worthy, is the opinion that fire cannot melt out of me. I'll die in it at the stake.
Thou wast ever an obstinate heretic in the despite of beauty.
That a woman conceived me, I thank her. But that she brought me up, I likewise give most humble thanks. But that I will hang my bugle in an invisible baldric, all women shall pardon me. And the fine is, for which I may go the finer, I will live a bachelor.
I shall see thee ere I die. Look pale with love.
With anger, with sickness, or with hunger, my lord, not with love.
Well, as time shall try, in time the savage bull doth bear the yoke.
The savage bull may, but if ever the sensible Benedick bear it, pluck off the bull's horns and set them in my forehead, and let me be vilely painted, and in such great letters as they write, here is good horse to hire, let them signify under my sign, here you may see Benedick, the married man. And so I leave you.
My liege, your highness now may do me good.
My love is thine to teach.
Hath Leonato any son, my lord?
No child, but Hero. She's his only heir. If thou dost love fair Hero, cherish it. I know we shall have reveling tonight. There I will break with her, and with her father, and thou shalt have her. She shall be thine. In practice, let us put it presently.
Elsewhere in the estates, the sullen Don John has sought out solitude, accompanied only by his henchman, Conrad.
What the good year, my lord? Why are you thus out of measure sad?
I cannot hide what I am. I must be sad when I have cause and smile at no man's jest, tend on no man's business, and claw no man in his humor.
Yea, but you must not make the full show of this till you may do it without controlment. You have of late stood out against your brother, and he hath ta'en you newly into his grace.
I had rather be a canker in a hedge than a rose in his grace. If I had my mouth, I would bite. If I had my liberty, I would do my liking. In the meantime, let me be what I am, and seek not to alter me. Who comes here? What news, Baraccio?
I came yonder from a great supper.
And I can give you intelligence of an intended marriage.
Will it serve for any model to build mischief on? What is he for a fool that betroths himself to unquietness?
Married, he's your brother's right hand.
Who? The most exquisite Claudio?
Even he.
A proper squire! And who? And who? Which way looks he?
Mary on Hero, the daughter and heir of Leonardo.
Come, come, let us thither. This may prove food to my displeasure. That young startup hath all the glory of my overthrow. If I can cross him anyway, I bless myself every way. You are both sure and will assist me?
To the death, my lord.
Let us to the great supper.
We'll wait upon your lordship.
As night falls, all prepare for the evening's revelry, a masquerade ball. In the great hall, Leonardo, his daughter Hero, and his niece Beatrice converse as they wait for the guests to arrive.
Was not Count John here at supper?
How tartly that gentleman looks. I never can see him, but I am heartburned an hour after.
He is of a very melancholy disposition.
He were an excellent man that were made just in the midway between him and Benedick. The one is too like an image and says nothing. The other, too like my lady's eldest son, evermore tattling.
By my troth, niece, if thou be so shrewd of thy tongue, thou wilt never get thee a husband.
For which blessing I am upon my knees every morning and evening. Lord, I could not endure a husband with a beard on his face. I had rather lie in the woolen.
You made light on a husband that hath no beard.
What should I do with him? He that hath a beard is more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man. And he that is more than a youth is not for me. And he that is less than a man, I am not for him.
Well, Hero, I hope to see you one day fitted with a husband. Remember what I told you. If the prince do solicit you in that kind, you know your answer.
Yes, faith, it is my cousin's duty to make curtsy and say, Father, as it please you. But yet for all that, cousin, let him be a handsome fellow. Or else make another curtsy and say, Father, as it please me.
The revelers are entering. Make good room.
The doors of the great hall burst open and the revelers rush in. With faces masked and spirits high, couples partner off to dance. Don Pedro, as promised, has pulled Leonardo aside to broker a marriage between Claudio and Hero. While in the center of the dance floor, Beatrice and Benedick have found each other. Benedick, hidden behind his mask, believes Beatrice thinks him a stranger and decides to have some fun by telling her the terrible things he has heard about her. But Beatrice is on to his tricks and decides to have some fun of her own.
Will you not tell me who told you so?
You shall pardon me.
Nor will you tell me who you are?
Not now.
That I was disdainful, and that I had my good wit out of the hundred merry tales.
Merry tales, yes.
Well, this was Signor Benedick that said so.
Oh, what's he?
Oh, I am sure you know him well enough.
Oh, not I, believe me.
Did he never make you laugh?
I pray you, what is he?
Why, he is the prince's jester. Huh? A very dull fool.
What?
His only gift is in devising impossible slanders. None but libertines delight in him, and the commendation is not in his wit, but in his villainy. For he both pleases men and angers them. And then they laugh at him and beat him. I'm sure he's in the fleet.
When I know the gentleman, I'll tell him what you say.
Do. We must follow the leaders.
With that, Beatrice twirls off into the crowd, leaving Benedick behind to fume to himself.
The prince's fool? I am not so reputed. It is the base, though bitter, disposition of Beatrice that puts the world into her person and so gives me out. Well, I'll be revenged as I may.
Now, Benedict, the Lady Beatrice hath a quarrel to you. The gentleman that danced with her told her she is much wronged by you.
Oh, she misused me past the endurance of a block. She told me, not thinking I'd been myself, that I was the prince's jester. That I was duller than a great thought, huddling jest upon jest, with such impossible conveyance upon me that I stood like a man at a mark with a whole army shooting at me. Oh, she speaks poniards. If her breath were as terrible as her terminations, there were no living near her. She would infect to the North Star. I would not marry her, though she were endowed with all that Adam had left him before he transgressed. Come.
Talk not of her!
Look, here she comes.
Oh, God, sir. Here's a dish I love not. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
Benedict storms past the bemused Beatrice, who has approached with Hero, Claudio, and Leonato in tow.
Come, lady, come. You have lost the heart of Signor Benedict.
Indeed, my lord. He lent it me a while, and I gave him use for it. A double heart for his single one. Mary, once before he won it of me with false dice. Before your grace may well say, I have lost it.
You have put him down, lady. You have put him down.
So I would not he should do me, my lord, lest I should prove the mother of fools. I have brought Count Claudio, whom you sent me to seek.
Here, Claudio, I have wooed in thy name, and fair Hero is won. I have broke with her father, and his goodwill obtained. Name the day of marriage, and God give thee joy.
Count, take of me my daughter, and with her my fortunes. His grace hath made the match, and in grace say amen to it.
Speak, cousin. Or if you cannot, stop his mouth with a kiss, and let not him speak neither.
And faith, lady, you have a merry heart.
Yea, my lord, I thank it. Poor fool, it keeps on the windy side of care. My cousin tells him in his ear that he is in her heart.
And so she doth, cousin.
Good lord, for alliance. Thus goes everyone of the world but I, and I'm sunburnt. I may sit in a corner and cry, hi-ho for a husband.
Lady Beatrice, I will get you one.
I would rather have one of your father's getting. Hath your grace ne'er a brother like you? Your father got excellent husbands, if a maid could come by them.
Will you have me, lady?
No, my lord. Unless I might have another for working days. Your grace is too costly to wear every day. But I beseech your grace pardon me. I was born to speak all mirth and no matter.
Your silence most offends me. And to be merry best becomes you. For out of question, you were born in a merry hour.
No, sure, my lord. My mother cried. But then there was a star danced. And under that was I born. Cousins, God give you joy.
As Don Pedro watches Beatrice disappear into the party, the faint glimmer of an idea begins to dawn.
By my troth, a pleasant-spirited lady.
There's little of the melancholy element in her, my lord.
She cannot endure to hear tell of a husband.
By no means. She mocks all her wooers out of suit.
She were an excellent wife for Benedict.
Oh, Lord. My lord, if they were but a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
Count Claudio, when mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord. Time goes on crutches till love have all his rights.
Not till Monday, my dear son, which is hence a just 7 nights. And a time too brief, too, to have all things answer in my mind.
Come, you shake the head at so long a breathing. But I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us. I will, in the interim, undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring Signor Benedict and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection, the one with the other. I would fain have it a match, and I doubt not but to fashion it. If you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direction.
My lord, I am for you, though it cost me 10 nights' watchings.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle Hero?
I will do any modest office, my lord, to help my cousin to a good husband.
I will teach you how to humor your cousin, that she shall fall in love with Benedict. And I, with your two helps, will so practice on Benedict that, in despite of his quick wit and his queasy stomach, he shall fall in love with Beatrice. If we can do this, Cupid is no longer an archer. His glory shall be ours, for we are the only love gods.
Yeah!
Go in with me, and I will tell you my drift.
As the party dwindles down, Don John and his man Baroccio confer in a dark corner.
It is so. The Count Claudio shall marry the daughter of Leonardo.
Yea, my lord. But I can cross it.
Any bar, any cross, any impediment will be medicinal to me. How canst thou cross this marriage?
Not honestly, my lord, but so covertly that no dishonesty shall appear in me.
Show me briefly how.
I think I told your lordship how much I am in the favor of Margaret, the waiting gentlewoman to Hero.
I remember.
I can, at any unseasonable instant of the night, appoint her to look out at her lady's chamber window.
What life is in that, to be the death of this marriage?
Find me a meet hour to draw Don Pedro and the Count Claudio alone. Tell them that you know that Hero loves me. They will scarcely believe this without trial. Offer them instances, which shall bear no less likelihood than to see me at her chamber window and hear me call Margaret's Hero. Bring them in to see this the very night before the intended wedding. For in the meantime, I will so fashion the matter that Hero will be absent, and there shall appear such seeming truth of Hero's disloyalty that jealousy shall be called assurance, and all the preparation overthrown.
Grow this to what adverse issue it can, I will put it in practice. Be cunning in the working this, and thy fee is 1,000 ducats.
Be you constant in the accusation, and my cunning shall not shame me.
I will presently go learn their day of marriage.
The next morning finds Benedick out in the garden, reflecting to himself on his friend Claudio falling prey to that merciless monster named Love.
I do much wonder that one man, seeing how much another man is a fool when he dedicates his behaviors to love, will, after he hath laughed at such shallow follies in others, become the argument of his own scorn by falling in love. And such a man is Claudio. May I be so converted and see with these eyes? I cannot tell. I think not. I will not be sworn, but that love may transform me to an oyster. But I'll take my oath on it. Till he have made an oyster of me, he shall never make me such a fool.
As his tirade concludes, who should Benedict spy approaching but Don Pedro, Claudio, and Leonato?
Oh, the prince and Monsieur Love. I will hide me in the arbor.
Feeling particularly cantankerous, Benedict decides to avoid their company by concealing himself in a nearby shrubbery. His friends, however, are all too aware of his presence.
See you where Benedict hath hid himself?
Very well, my lord.
Taking advantage of the situation, the trio engage in a little play acting and deliver a well-rehearsed conversation specifically intended for Benedict to overhear.
Come hither, Leonato. What was it you told me of today that your niece Beatrice was in love with Signor Benedick?
The gobsmacked Benedick can scarce believe his ears.
Bait the hook well, this fish will bite.
By my troth, my lord, I cannot tell what to think of it, but that she loves him with an enraged affection. It is past the infinite of thought. You amaze me. I would have thought her spirit had been invincible against all assaults of affection.
I would have sworn it had, my lord, especially against Benedick.
Ow!
Ooh. Out of the corner of their eyes, the amused men watch Benedick contort himself to remain hidden while straining to hear every word.
He hath taken the infection. Hold it up.
Has she made her affection known to Benedick?
No, and swears she never will. That's her torment.
'Tis true indeed. So your daughter says, shall I, says she, that have so oft encountered him with scorn, write to him that I love him?
She'll be up 20 times a night, and there will she sit in her smock till she have writ a sheet of paper. My daughter tells us all.
Then down upon her knees she falls, weeps, sobs, beats her heart, tears her hair, prays, curses. Oh, sweet Benedick, God give me patience.
She doth indeed. My daughter says so, and the ecstasy hath so much overborne her that my daughter is sometime afeared she will do a desperate outrage to herself.
It is very true.
It were good that Benedick knew of it.
To what end? He would make but a sport of it and torment the poor lady worse.
And he should. It were an alms to hang him. She's an excellent sweet lady, and out of all suspicion, she is virtuous.
And she is exceeding wise.
In everything but in loving Benedick.
My lord, will you walk? Dinner is ready.
If he do not dote on her upon this, I will never trust my expectation.
The sport will be when they hold one an opinion of another's dotage, and no such matter, that's the scene that I would see. Let us send her to call him in to dinner.
Barely containing their laughter, the three disappear into the house as a thoroughly bumfuzzled Benedick emerges from the shrubs.
This can be no trick. They have the truth of this from Hero. Love me? Why, it must be requited. They say the lady is fair. Oh, 'tis a truth. And virtuous, 'tis so. And wise, but for loving me. By my troth, it is no great argument of her folly. For I will be horribly in love with her. Now, I may chance have some odd quirks and remnants of wits broken on me because I've railed so long against marriage. But what doth not the appetite alter? Shall quips and sentences and these paper bullets of the brain awe man from the career of his humor? No! The world must be peopled! When I said I would die a bachelor, I did not think I should live till I were married. Here comes Beatrice. By this day, she's a fair lady. I do spy some marks of love in her.
Against my will, I am sent to bid you come in to dinner.
Fair Beatrice, I thank you for your pains.
I took no more pains for those thanks than you take pains to thank me. If it had been painful, I would not have come.
Oh, you take pleasure then in the message.
Yea. Just so much as you may take upon a knife's point and choke a doll withal. You have no stomach, senor. Fare you well.
Huh. Against my will, I'm sent to bid you come in to dinner? There's a double meaning in that! If I do not take pity of her, I am a villain! I will go get her picture.
With the first part of the trap sprung, Hero and her gentlewomen Margaret and Ursula prepare to spring the second.
Good Margaret, run thee to the parlor. There shalt thou find my cousin Beatrice. Whisper her ear and tell her I and Ursula walk in the orchard and our whole discourse is all of her. Say that thou overheardst us and bid her steal into the pleached bower. There will she hide her to listen our purpose. This is thy office. Bear thee well in it and leave us alone.
I'll make her come, I warrant you, presently.
Now, Ursula, when Beatrice doth come, our talk must be only of Benedick. When I do name him, let thy part be to praise him more than ever man did merit. My talk must be how Benedick is sick in love with Beatrice. Of this matter is little Cupid's crafty arrow made.
With a lack of stealth equal only to that of her counterpart Benedick, Beatrice arrives, thinking herself unseen.
Now begin. For look where Beatrice, like a lapwing, runs close by the ground to hear our conference.
Fear you not my part of the dialogue.
No, truly, Ursula, she is too disdainful. I know her spirits are as coy and wild as haggards of the rock.
But are you sure that Benedick loves Beatrice so entirely?
So says the prince and my new trothed lord.
And did they bid you tell her of it, madam?
They did entreat me to acquaint her of it, but I persuaded them, if they loved Benedick, to wish him wrestle with affection and never let Beatrice know of it.
Why did you so? Doth not the gentleman deserve as full, as fortunate a bed as ever Beatrice shall couch upon?
Oh, God of love! I know he doth deserve as much as may be yielded to a man, but nature never framed a woman's heart of prouder stuff than that of Beatrice. She cannot love. She is so self-endeared.
He is so funny.
Sure, I think so. And therefore, certainly, it were not good she knew his love, lest she make sport at it.
Why, you speak truth. I never yet saw man, how wise, how noble, young, how rarely featured. But turn she every man the wrong side out.
Yet tell her of it. Hear what she will say.
No, rather I will go to Benedick and counsel him to fight against his passion. And truly, I'll devise some honest slander to stain my cousin with.
Ah! Ow! Oh, do not do your cousin such a wrong. She cannot be so much without true judgment, having so swift and excellent a wit as she is priced to have, as to refuse so rare a gentleman as Signor Benedick.
He is the only man of Italy. Always excepted, my dear Claudio.
I pray you, be not angry with me, madam, speaking my fancy. Signor Benedick, for shape, forbearing, argument, and valor goes foremost in report through Italy. When are you married, madam?
Why, every day. Tomorrow. Come, go in.
She's limed, I warrant you. We have caught her, madam.
If it proves so, then loving goes by haps. Some Cupid kills with arrows, some with traps.
Confident their concocted conversation has fulfilled its function, Hero and Ursula disappear into the house as Beatrice emerges from her hiding spot.
What fire is in mine ears? Can this be true? Stand I condemned for pride and scorn so much? Contempt, farewell. And maiden pride, adieu. No glory lives behind the back of such. And Benedick, love on. I will requite thee, taming my wild heart to thy loving hand. If thou dost love, my kindness shall incite thee to bind our loves up in a holy band. For others say thou dost deserve, and I believe it better than reportingly.
In the drawing room of Leonato's house, Don Pedro and Claudio have been celebrating their so far successful matchmaking scheme when they are interrupted by the arrival of the dastardly Don John.
My lord and brother, God save you.
Good den, brother.
If your leisure served, I would speak with you.
In private?
If it please you, yet Count Claudio may hear, for what I would speak of concerns him.
What's the matter?
Means your lordship to be married tomorrow?
You know he does.
I know not that when he knows what I know.
If there be any impediment, I pray you, discover it.
What's the matter?
I came hither to tell you, and circumstances shortened, the lady is disloyal.
Who? Hero?
Even she! Leonardo's hero! Your hero! Every man's hero!
Disloyal?
The word is too good to paint out her wickedness. Go but with me tonight. You shall see her chamber window entered, even the night before her wedding day. If you love her then, tomorrow wed her, but it would better fit your honor to change your mind.
May this be so.
I will not think it.
If you will follow me, I will show you enough. And when you have seen more and heard more, proceed accordingly.
If I see anything tonight why I should not marry her, tomorrow in the congregation where I should be wed, there will I shame her.
I will join with thee to disgrace her.
Bear it coldly but till midnight, and let the issue show itself.
Oh, day untowardly turned.
Oh, mister, strangely thwarting.
Oh, plague right well prevented. So you will say when you have seen the sequel.
That very night, the diabolical Don John delivers on his promise, escorting his brother and Claudio to a hidden spot from whence they witness what they believe to be Hero's act of infidelity. Completely taken in by the charade, Claudio is heartbroken and determines that the next day, instead of wedding Hero, he will publicly shame her. As he and Don Pedro make their plans, elsewhere in Messina, more nocturnal activity is afoot. In the public square, the enthusiastic, if not entirely competent, Constable Dogberry of the Night's Watch and his trusty sidekick, Virgis, are preparing for the night's vigil.
Are you a good man and true?
Yea, or else it were pity, but I should suffer salvation, body and soul.
Nay, that were a punishment too good for you, being chosen for the Prince's Watch.
Well, give charge, neighbor Dogberry.
This is your charge. You are to bid any man stand in the prince's name.
How if they will not stand?
Why, then, take no note of him, but let him go. And thank God you are rid of a knave. Oh. You shall also make no noise in the streets, for the watch to babble and to talk is most tolerable and not to be endured.
I will rather sleep than talk. I know what belongs to a watch.
Why, you speak like an ancient and most quiet watchman. Well, you are to call at all the alehouses and bid those that are drunk get them to bed.
How if they will not?
Why, then, let them alone till they are sober. If they make you not, then the better answer, you may say they are not the men you took them for.
Well, sir!
One more word, honest neighbor. I pray you watch about Signor Leonardo's door. For the wedding being there tomorrow, there is a great coil tonight. Adieu, be vigilant, I beseech you.
What, Conrad?
Peace! Stir not.
Spotting some suspicious-looking characters, Dogberry and Virgis valiantly scramble to conceal themselves behind some conveniently placed pottery and listen in as Don John's henchmen Conrad and Baraccio stumble within earshot.
Conrad, I say.
Here, man, I am at thy elbow. Now forward with thy tail.
Stand thee close, then, and I will, like a true drunkard, utter all to thee.
Some treason, neighbor, yet stand close.
Close?
Close.
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 Shh.
No, I have earned of Don John 1,000 ducats.
Is it possible that any villainy should be so dear?
I have tonight wooed Margaret, the Lady Hero's gentlewoman, by the name of Hero. She leans me out at her mistress's chamber window, bids me 1,000 times good night.
Oh.
I tell this tale vilely. I should first tell thee how the prince and Claudio, planted and placed and possessed by my master Don John, saw far off in the orchard this amiable encounter.
And thought they Margaret was Hero?
2 of them did, the prince and Claudio. But the devil, my master, knew she was Margaret. Away went Claudio in rage, swore he would meet her as he was appointed next morning at the temple. And there, before the whole congregation, shame her with what he saw o'ernight, and send her home without a husband.
With that, Dogberry and Virgis eagerly spring forth from their hiding place to apprehend the despicable duo.
We charge you in the prince's name, stand! Master Constable, we have here recovered the most dangerous piece of lechery that was ever known in the Commonwealth.
Masters, masters!
Never speak! We charge you, let us obey you, go with us. Come, let them be opinioned.
Coxcomb?
The prince's officer, Coxcomb? Come, bind them, thou naughty varlet.
You are an ass. You are an ass.
Dost thou not suspect my place? Dost thou not suspect my years? But masters, remember that I am an ass. Though it be not written down, yet forget not that I am an ass. And which is more, an officer? And which is more, a householder? And which is more, as pretty a piece of flesh as any in Messina? Bring them away.
We'll obey you.
Oh, that I had been writ down an ass.
Having subdued the villains, Dogberry and Virgis lead them off for interrogation, apparently unaware of the time-sensitive nature of what they have overheard. The next morning dawns, and the wedding party is gathered at the chapel. Leonardo, father of the bride, amiably chats with Friar Francis, while Beatrice and Benedict, both believing they've secretly discovered the other's crush, furtively sneak sly glances at one another. And Claudio, with Don Pedro by his side, stands at the altar staring intently at Hero, who gazes back in loving adoration.
Come, Friar Francis, be brief, only to the plain form of marriage, and you shall recount their particular duties afterwards.
You come hither, my lord, to marry this lady. Lady, you come hither to be married to this count. If either of you know any inward impediment why you should not be conjoined, charge you on your souls to utter it.
Know you any, Hero?
None, my lord.
Know you any, count?
Stand thee by, friar. Leonardo, by your leave, will you with free and unconstrained soul give me this maid, your daughter?
As freely, son, as God did give her me.
There, Leonardo, take her back again. Give not this rotten orange to your friend. Behold, how like a maid she blushes here, but she is none. She knows the heat of luxurious bed.
Oh!
What do you mean, my lord?
Not to be married, not to knit my soul to an approved wanton who is more intemperate in her blood than Venus.
Is my lord well that he doth speak so wise?
Sweet prince, why speak not you?
What should I speak? I stand dishonored that have gone about to link my dear friend to a common stale.
Oh!
Are these things spoken, or do I but dream?
This looks not like a nuptial.
True, oh God!
Let me but move one question to your daughter. What man was he talked with you yesternight out your window betwixt 12 and 1?
I talked with no man at that hour, my lord.
Leonato, I am sorry you must hear. Upon mine honor, myself, my brother, and this grieved count did see her, hear her at that hour last night talk with a ruffian at her chamber window who hath indeed confessed the vile encounters they have had 1,000 times in secret.
Oh,
Hero, what a hero hadst thou been if half thy outward graces had been placed about thy thoughts and counsels of thy heart. But fare thee well, most foul, most fair, farewell.
As Claudio and Don Pedro storm away from the stunned congregation, the overwhelmed hero collapses to the ground.
Why, how now, cousin? Wherefore sink you down?
How doth the lady?
Dead, I think. Hero! Why, hero!
Have comfort, lady.
Dost thou look up?
Yea, wherefore should she not?
Wherefore, friar? Why doth not every earthly thing cry shame upon her?
Sir, sir, be patient.
Hear me a little. Call me a fool. Trust not my reading nor my observations. If this sweet lady lie not guiltless here under some biding error. Lady, what man is he you are accused of?
They know that do accuse me. I know none.
There is some strange misprison in the princes.
If they wrong her honor, the proudest of them shall well hear of it.
Pause a while, and let my counsel sway you in this case. Your daughter here the princess left for dead. Let her a while be secretly kept in, and publish it that she is dead indeed.
What shall become of this, friar? What will this do?
She dying, as it must be so maintained, upon the instant that she was accused, shall be lamented, pitied, and excused of every hearer. So will it fare with Claudio when he shall hear she died upon his words. If ever love had interest in his liver, he shall wish he had not so accused her. And if it sort not well, you may conceal her in some reclusive and religious life.
Signor Leonardo, let the friar advise you.
Being that I flow in grief, the smallest twine may lead me.
'Tis well consented. Presently away. Come, lady, die to live. This wedding day perhaps is but prolonged. Have patience and endure.
The friar leads Hero and her father away to discuss the details of their plan, leaving a distraught Beatrice and bewildered Benedick behind in the empty chapel.
Lady Beatrice, have you wept all this while?
Yea, and I will weep a while longer.
I will not desire that.
You have no reason, I do it freely.
But surely, I do believe your fair cousin is robbed.
Oh, how much might the man deserve of me that would right her?
Is there any way to show such friendship?
A very even way. But no such friend.
Well, may a man do it?
It is a man's office, but not yours.
I do love nothing in the world so well as you. Is not that strange?
As strange as the thing, I know not. It were as possible for me to say, I loved nothing so well as you. But believe me not, and yet I lie not. I confess nothing. Nor I deny nothing. I am sorry for my cousin.
By my sword, Beatrice, thou lovest me.
Do not swear and eat it.
I will swear by that you love me, and I will make him eat it that says I love not you.
Will you not eat your word?
With no sauce that can be devised to it, I protest. I love thee.
Why then, God, forgive me.
What offense, sweet Beatrice?
You have stayed me in a happy hour. I was about to protest I loved you.
And do it. With all thy heart.
I love you with so much of my heart that none is left to protest.
Come, bid me do anything for thee.
Kill Claudio.
Ha! Not for the wide world.
You kill me to deny it. Farewell.
Wait, no. Tarry, sweet Beatrice.
I am gone, though I am here. There is no love in you. Nay, I pray you, let me go.
Beatrice!
In faith, I will go.
We'll be friends first.
You dare easier be friends with me than fight with mine enemy.
Is Claudio thine enemy?
Is he not approved in the height of villain that has slandered, scorned, dishonored my kinswoman? Oh, that I were a man! What? Bear her in hand until they come to take hands, and then with public accusation, uncovered slander, unmitigated rancor. Oh, God, that I were a man! I would eat his heart in the marketplace!
Hear me, Beatrice.
Talk with a man out a window, a proper saying.
Well, nay, but Beatrice...
Sweet hero, she is wronged. She is slandered. She is undone.
Beatrice.
Princes and counties. Surely a princely testimony, a goodly count. Oh, that I were a man for his sake. Or that I had any friend would be a man for my sake. But manhood is melted into courtesies, valor into compliment. He is now as valiant as Hercules, that only tells a lie and swears it. I cannot be a man with wishing. Therefore, I will die a woman with grieving.
Tarry,
good Beatrice. By this hand, I love thee.
Use it for my love some other way than swearing by it.
Think you in your soul the Count Claudio hath wronged Hero?
Yea, as sure as I have a thought or a soul.
Enough. I'm engaged. I will challenge him. I will kiss your hand, and so I leave you. And by this hand, Claudio shall render me a dear account. Go, comfort your cousin. And so farewell.
Elsewhere, Leonato, executing the friar's plan, has confronted Don Pedro and Claudio as they prepare to take their leave of his estate.
Hear you, my lords.
We have some haste, Leonato.
Some haste, my lord? Thou hast belied mine innocent child. Thy slander hath gone through and through her heart, and she lies buried with her ancestors. Oh, in a tomb where never scandal slept, save this of hers, framed by thy villainy.
My villainy?
Thine, Claudio, thine, I say.
You say not right, old man.
Canst thou so daft me? Thou hast killed my child.
Leonato.
God knows I loved my daughter, and she is dead. Slandered to death by villains, boys, apes, braggarts, jacks, milksops.
Leonato, we will not wake your patience. My heart is sorry for your daughter's death, but on my honor, she was charged with nothing but what was true and very full of proof.
My lord, my lord!
I will not hear you.
No! I will be heard.
Leonato storms off, crossing paths with the approaching Benedick, whose customary smirk has been replaced with a look of grim determination.
See, see, here comes the man we went to seek.
Shall I speak a word in your ear?
God bless me from a challenge.
You are a villain. I jest not. I will make it good how you dare, with what you dare, and when you dare. Do me right, or I will protest your cowardice. You have killed a sweet lady, and her death shall fall heavy on you. Let me hear from you.
Well, I will meet you, so I may have good cheer.
Fare you well, boy. You know my mind.
Without so much as a backwards glance, Benedick marches off.
He is in earnest.
Most profound earnest.
And hath challenged thee.
Most sincerely.
Their contemplation is interrupted by the arrival of Constable Dogberry and Virgis, with Baraccio and Conrad bound and in tow.
Come you, sir. If justice cannot tame you, she shall ne'er weigh more reasons in her balance.
How now? Two of my brother's men bound. Baraccio won. Officers, what offense have these men done?
Marry, sir, they have committed false report. Moreover, they have spoken untrue. Secondarily, they are slanderous. Sixth, and lastly, they have belied a lady. Thirdly, they have verified unjust things. And to conclude, they are lying knaves.
Who have you offended, masters, that you are thus bound to your answer? This learned constable is too cunning to be understood. What's your offense?
Sweet prince, do you but hear me, and let this count kill me. I have deceived even your very eyes. Don John, your brother, incensed me to slander the lady Hero. You were brought into the orchard and saw me court Margaret in Hero's garments, and so you disgraced her when you should marry her. The lady is dead upon mine and my master's false accusation. And briefly, I desire nothing but the reward of a villain.
Runs not this speech like iron through your blood?
I have drunk poison while he's uttered it.
But did my brother set thee on to this?
Yea, and paid me richly for the practice of it.
Sweet Hero, now thy image doth appear in the rare semblance that I loved at first.
Come, bring away the plaintiffs. And masters, do not forget to specify when the time and place shall serve that I am an ass.
Here comes Master Signor Leonato.
Which is the villain? Art thou the slave that with thy breath has killed mine innocent child?
Yea, even I alone.
No, not so, villain. Here stand a pair of honorable men that had a hand in it. I thank you, princes, for my daughter's death. Record it with your high and worthy deeds. 'Twas bravely done, if you bethink you of it.
I know not how to pray your patience. Choose your revenge yourself. Impose me to what penance your invention can lay upon my sin. Yet sinned I not but in mistaking.
I cannot bid you bid my daughter live. That were impossible. But tomorrow morning come you to my house, and since you could not be my son-in-law, be yet my nephew. My brother hath a daughter, almost the copy of my child that's dead. Give her the right you should have given her cousin, and so dies my revenge.
Oh, noble sir, your overkindness doth wring tears from me. I do embrace your offer.
Tomorrow, then, I will expect your coming.
Moreover, sir, which indeed is not under white and black, this plaintiff here, the offender, did call me an ass. I beseech you, let it be remembered in his punishment.
There's for thy pains. Go. I discharge thee of thy prisoner, and I thank thee.
I humbly give you leave to depart, and if a merry meeting may be wished, God prohibit it. Come, neighbor.
Until tomorrow morning, lords. Farewell.
We will not fail.
Tonight I'll mourn for Hero.
Elsewhere on the estate, Benedict sits, pen in hand, endeavoring with increasing frustration to compose a love sonnet for Beatrice.
The god of love, who sits above, maybe, baby, I was not born under a rhyming planet, nor I cannot woo in festival terms. sweet Beatrice! Wouldst thou come when I called thee?
Yea, senor, and depart when you bid me.
Oh, stay but till then.
Then is spoken. Fare you well now. And yet, ere I go, let me go with that I came, which is with knowing what hath passed between you and Claudio.
Only foul words. Claudio undergoes my challenge, and either I must shortly hear from him, or I will subscribe him a coward. And I pray thee now, tell me, for which of my bad parts didst thou first fall in love with me?
For them all together, which maintain so politic a state of evil that they will not admit any good part to intermingle with them.
Mm.
But for which of my good parts did you first suffer love for me?
Suffer love, a good epithet. I do suffer love indeed, for I love thee against my will.
In spite of your heart, I think. Alas, poor heart. If you spite it for my sake, I will spite it for yours. For I will never love that which my friend hates.
Thou and I are too wise to woo peaceably. Oh, and there will I leave you too, for here comes one in haste.
How now, Ursula?
Madam, you must come to your uncle, yonder's old coil at home. It is proved my lady Hero hath been falsely accused, the prince and Claudio mightily abused, and Don John is the author of all, who has been taken in flight and brought with armed guard back to Messina. Will you come presently?
Will you go hear this news, senor?
I will live in thy heart, die in thy lap, and be buried in thy eyes. And moreover, I will go with thee to thy uncle's.
Beatrice and Benedict rush to the house, where Leonato, Friar Francis, and Hero await, along with all the gentlewomen of the household.
Did not I tell you she was innocent?
Aye, Friar. So are the prince and Claudio, who accused her. Well, I am glad that all things sort so well.
And so am I, being else by faith and forced to call young Claudio to a reckoning for it.
Here comes the prince and Claudio.
Daughter, niece, and you! Gentlewoman, all, put on your veils!
Following Leonardo's instructions, the women gathered in the courtyard all draw their veils down over their faces, obscuring their features, just as Don Pedro and the penitent Claudio arrive.
Good morrow to this fair assembly.
Good morrow, Prince. Good morrow, Claudio. We here attend you. Are you yet determined today to marry with my brother's daughter?
I'll hold my mind. Which is the lady I must seize upon?
The same is she, and I do give you her.
Why, then, she's mine. Sweet, let me see your face.
No, that you shall not, till you take her hand before this friar and swear to marry her.
Give me your hand. Before this holy friar, I am your husband, if you like of me.
And when I lived, I was your other wife. And when you loved, you were my other husband.
With that, Hero lifts her veil, revealing her face.
Another Hero!
Nothing certainer. One Hero died defiled, but I do live, and as surely as I live, I am a maid.
The former Hero! Hero that is dead!
She died, my lord, but whiles her slander lived.
All this amazement can I qualify when after that the holy rites are ended, I'll tell you largely of fair hero's death. To the chapel, let us presently.
Soft and fair. Friar, I must entreat your pains, I think.
To do what, senor?
To bind me. Or undo me, one of them. Where is Beatrice?
I answer to that name. What is your will?
Do not you love me?
Why, no. No more than reason.
Oh! Oh.
Why, then your uncle and the prince and Claudio have been deceived. They swore you did.
Do not you love me?
Troth, no. No more than reason.
Oh. Why, then my cousin, Margaret and Ursula, are much deceived, for they did swear you did.
Well, they swore you were almost sick for me.
They swore you were well-nigh dead for me.
No, 'tis no such matter. Then you do not love me?
No, truly, but in friendly recompense.
Then, I am sure you love the gentleman.
And I'll be sworn upon that he loves her, for here's a paper written in his hand, a halting sonnet of his own pure-brained fashion to Beatrice.
And here's another writ in my cousin's hand, stolen from her pocket, containing her affection onto Benedict.
A miracle. Here's our own hands against our hearts. Come, I will have thee. But by this light, I take thee for pity.
I would not deny you. But by this good day, I yield upon great persuasion, and partly to save your life, for I was told you were in a consumption.
Peace! I will stop your mouth.
And with a kiss, he does.
How dost thou, Benedict, the married man?
I'll tell thee what, Prince. A college of witcrackers cannot flout me out of my humor. Come, let's have a dance ere we are married.
We'll have dancing afterward.
First, my word. Therefore, play music. Prince, thou art sad. Get thee a wife. Get thee a wife. Strike up, Piper!
Thank you for joining us for this audio presentation of William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. What you have heard tonight is an adaptation of our free Shakespeare in the Park tour, an example of the community and educational outreach that the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company brings to our region. Tonight's presentation would not be possible without our season sponsors, the Otto M. Buttig Family Foundation, the John Bridgeland, Crilly, Long, and Mason families honoring James R. Bridgeland Jr., the Ohio Arts Council, the Robert and Adele Schiff Family Foundation, the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. Foundation, and the generosity of tens of thousands of contributors to the Arts Wave community campaign. We also send special thanks to our digital season sponsors, Bartlett Wealth Management and Barnes Denig, and our park tour sponsor, the Makino Foundation. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Cincinnati Shakespeare Company production, adapted and directed for radio by Jeremy Dubin, with the voices of Sarah Clark, Jeremy Dubin, Marcus Anthony, Angelique Archer, Ariana Chai, Colleen Dougherty, Cal Harris, Lennon Hu, Abigail Nacken, and Brian Isaac Phillips. It was recorded by Kevin Samancic with editing and sound design by Cal Harris. The production manager was Abby Howson. WVXU is proud to partner with Cincinnati Shakespeare Company to bring you this program, with support from WVXU's sustaining and annual members. You can hear it again at wvxu.org.